but many people gave their life so that we could have that freedom and privilege. There's a greater sacrifice, though, that we're going to focus on here today, and it's Christ's ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice of his life, so that we could have freedom, and not so much political freedom, but that we could have freedom from sin and death. And it's that freedom from sin and death that gives us that ability to be in that eternal relationship with him. So he paid the highest sacrifice as God and gave up his place in heaven and died in our place so that we could have these wonderful freedoms in Christ apart from sin and death. As we consider his example, his commandment to us in our passage today in John 15, verses 12 and 13, it's in your bulletin, it'll be on the screen as well. But his commandment to us is to love others the way that Christ loved us. Now, we can think about all the things that he did, and we'll talk about that and unpack that a little bit, but then he goes right to the ultimate way that he loved us, and that's the fact that he was about to lay his life down for us, who he calls friends. So he sets the bar really high, doesn't he? Right off the bat, he says, hey, you need to love others the way I've loved you, and by the way, I'm going to die for you. That the highest act of love is to give your life for someone else. Our main takeaway for our service here today is that true joy comes through giving your life away. True joy comes through giving your life away. And we're going to unpack that some here today as we go through the passage. But often we're seeking joy or we're seeking happiness in life, but we often go about it so many other ways than the way God has intended. Because the way God has intended goes against our human thinking. But in order to unpack this properly, we actually need to go back in the passage to verse 9 and start there here this morning. But before I read it, I want to just pause for a moment and pray and ask for God's blessing upon his word here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, as we come to this place this morning, as we consider the great sacrifice that your son Jesus has made, that we may have freedom, freedom from our sin and death, and that we can have eternal life in you. God, in addition to that, we look at the fact that your plan to fill us with your joy is contrary to everything that our heart or our mind as humans would believe or seek after. God, we pray today as we read your word, as we study it, Father, may you pierce our hearts, God, in a new and fresh way through your word. Father, in this room, there's people in all different places. There's folks that have not put their faith in you yet for salvation. There's those that have maybe been away a while from you. Some of us are continuing on in that journey, but it might be a struggle. And others yet are thriving in their relationship, God, with you. But God, wherever each person is at today, we open up our hearts and give you a word through the Holy Spirit, freedom in our lives. We declare it as it wholly inspired by you, as without error, and we also declare it as the highest authority in our life. We give this time to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we get into our passage here this morning, it's important that we don't just kind of leave it at we need to give our life for another, because we can run off and apply that in all kinds of different ways. But as we look at our passage here today in John 15, starting in verse 9, 9 and 10 says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't really feel God's love the way I do at other times. Sometimes I may be in a place where I'm just not experiencing that feeling, if you will, of God's love. But we can't base our faith on the feeling all the time of love. But sometimes we can even get to a place, and I believe that all of us at one point in our Christian walk will get to a place where we begin to wrestle with whether or not God loves us. Maybe we've been away from God and gotten away from those times that we spend with the Lord, and we're not feeling connected with God. Or maybe we've got into a pattern of sinful behavior, and we're beginning to own that shame and really wondering if God really does love us. And you see, all those things, though, are based on our own behavior. And And the truth is that this passage is not talking about God loving us or not loving us when it says, remain in my love. Because here's the truth. God loves you because... God loves you because... He loves you because. Just because. That's why he loves you. He loves you for the very reason that he loves you. There's no other reason that we need. We just need to know that God loves us. In fact, if you want to write this verse down, it's Romans 5:8. It's a great verse to have and know when we're in those places of doubt, because God loves us because he's told us that he loves us. And that's the first fact that we need to hold on to. It's a truth from God. It says that while we were still, we know that God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, when we're sinners, we're actually the enemy of God. We're separated from God by our sins. But in spite of that, we know that God loves us, because in that place, in that time, in that condition, God loved us still. That's all we need to remember. So if he loved us before we were in Christ, and when we were in that unredeemed sinful state before we received Christ, he's not going to stop loving us as we struggle with sin or if we felt apart from sin. God loves us just because. The next verse is that when we're in Christ, that love union of being in Christ, when we've declared him as Lord and Savior in our life, Romans 8:39 is another reference that I would like you to write down and keep for yourself. Romans 8:39, these are all great verses to underline in your own personal Bible. You can underline them in the Pew Bible if you want to, but it's just the next person will get it. But neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when we get in those moments, it comes up that we start to feel like, oh, well, maybe God doesn't really love me. Or we begin to doubt. Our own sinfulness makes us doubt. Satan, our great enemy, causes us to doubt God's love for us. But it's important that we have the treasure known and on hand, that we can continue to remind ourselves of the unfailing, unconditional, permanent love of God that is in Christ Jesus. But when we come across passages like this and we misread it and we don't interpret it properly, it's easy to say, okay, well, it says to remain. Well, that means maybe that I can leave God's love. Well, in order to answer this question, the first thing we have to see is the meaning of the word love here. And the root word is agape, which would mean unconditional love, which most of you would know that definition, that it means unconditional love. But it also means a very intimate fellowship of love. It means a close relationship of love, a knitting together, if you will, of two into one. And that is that deeper level of love and personal intimate relationship that God wants to have with you through Christ Jesus. And this is what this passage is talking about remaining in my love. That love is that growing in relationship with God. The way that we remain in the love then is to follow his commands. The command that we started our service with is to love others as I have loved you. That's the command that we're focusing on here today. But there's many commands that God gives us. But what he's saying is that as we follow those commands, that we will remain in his love, meaning that we're growing in our relationship with Christ Jesus. Here's the reality, though. I believe not one person in this room really at their core likes to be told what to do. I don't even care if there's some 2 and 3 year olds in the room. No one likes to be told what to do, okay? And you might disagree with me. It's just the truth, okay? We are self-focused, and we want to be self-regulated and self-governed, and we really don't want anyone telling us what to do. The word obedience and command are just not good words. Even the word submit and surrender are not good words in our society. They're just not. Try it sometimes. Just stop a stranger on the street and say, I command you to stop and talk to me. Just give it a shot. See how they receive that. It probably won't go well. But here's the thing about this word obey that might sound like a dirty word in life. The truth is that we need to change our thinking on what that means. You see, often we want this kind of easy Christianity. We want a Christianity that doesn't require much of us. We want a Christianity that doesn't ask us to really do a whole lot. And what that would be defined as by some is cheap grace, meaning that we take that gift of salvation through grace and grace alone, that we can't earn it, but we stop there. We take that gift of salvation, but we don't allow God to really enter through Christ Jesus into our life because we're resisting following anything that God has taught us. But the truth is that what this is saying is that the more we follow God's commands, the closer we grow in relationship with Christ Jesus. We need to look at that word obey, and some of your translations in the room would say abide or dwell. It means that we're with Christ, that we're following his way. It means that really that we're trusting his plan, and we're also saying that Christ Jesus, we know that your plan is better than my plan. In fact, by obeying the way that God has these commands for us is to say, God, I am testifying that I realize that you actually know me better than I know myself, and that the plans you have for me are way beyond compare of any plan that I could ever come up with. So I'm going to yield my plan and my will to your will. In fact, when we go further in this definition of the word agape, it talks about how it means that in relationship we begin to give up our own rights and privileges to yield to the way of another. Think about Jesus for a moment. He's in heaven with God, and Jesus is God. He gave up his right to the throne of and all of his authority to become man. And not only that, he went to a place of humility and obedience to a place on the cross. So why? So that we could be in a perfect relationship, that we could have our sins covered and be in this joyful relationship with God. And what did God do for Christ in return in that place of humility? He brought him to the place where his name is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But you see, Jesus shows this other way. But sometimes when we get into this place of thinking of obedience, or maybe we're rule avoidant, some of us are really good rule followers. In fact, we love following rules. We like to just have a checklist and think, man, I can follow all these rules. I can look right, act right, talk right. I can follow all these rules. What happens, though, is we begin to put our faith in how well we can follow the rules as opposed to how well we can follow Christ Jesus. And what happens is that we become not righteous, but self-righteous, because now we're wearing the fact that we can follow rules really well. We wear it around like a badge of honor, and we hold it up to God like we earned something. But the truth is that if our salvation came through grace, meaning that there's nothing we can do to earn it, it means that following the rules don't earn us anything. So if we're trusting and following the rules alone, then we've missed the meaning of the gospel. We've missed it. We've missed it. Because what Christ wants us to do is follow him. Now, he has a way of life that he's trying to teach us, and that's how we have to see it. We have to begin to trust that. There's another way that we think of that can often change our thinking that way too, is that sometimes we enter into these way of Christ and the commandments that he gives us as this self-improvement model. That we're looking for behavior modification, that we're hoping that life will get better if we follow this certain 10-step plan to a more prosperous life, if you will, and we look at it as a self-improvement model. But what that really is behavior modification, and we're still putting our faith in ourselves and our ability to follow these rules, and again, we miss the point of the gospel in our life, because it's first for salvation, but then it's for transformation. What God wants us to do is not first change our behavior, but to change our heart. I've said it before in messages that behavior change follows heart change. You know, we look at the world around us, all the issues that we have in the world around us, those are heart issues. Now, those are what our heart is geared towards. Here's the thing about God's law. When we consider God's law, we need to understand that God's law is defined by God's love. And if we're following rules or trying to follow some certain way and it's void of love or joy or the hope and peace that we have in Christ Jesus, we've missed it, because God's law is defined by God's love. If you look at the Ten Commandments, they're all geared towards loving God and loving other people. In fact, Jesus himself says that here are the two greatest commandments: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and Strength, thank you. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. All right. And to love your neighbor as yourself. That's God and others. So as we think about that, as we think about following rules, that it's not a rule following, it's a way following. It's trusting that God's plan is higher than ours. That he has a plan for us that enriches our lives, but not in some self-help moralistic way. This is what his plan is for us is that each day when we surrender to God's way, that we're falling less in love with the world and more in love with Christ Jesus. See, that's this process of transformation. We're falling out of love with the world, and we're falling more in love with Christ Jesus. And as we think about following his commands, it's a process of growing in that relationship and falling in love with him once again. As we continue on here, it talks about a promise in verse 11. It says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Here's the thing. He's not trying to get us all to line up for, single file and be in some perfect obedience type of place. He wants us to do it because it's a response to his grace. You can sum the gospel up this way, is it's summed up by grace and gratitude. You see, when we embrace the grace of Christ Jesus, we come to him in gratitude. We serve him and follow his way because we get to. And the promise we have is that the more we follow Christ's way, the more joy that is in us, and then his joy will be complete. Some of your translations will say that his joy actually will come out to the place of overflowing, that his joy, the joy that he gives us will be complete. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be happy in life. You know, I want to do things that please myself. I want to do things that make me happy. But really, everything that this world has to offer that makes me happy, it's like trying to hold water in your hands. It's gone in a second, isn't it? You know, I like to fish, but a great night of fishing, it eventually the sun sets and you got to go home because the mosquitoes are biting more than the fish are, and it's over. And I'll do it again tomorrow and the next day, but it falls short. It's a great experience, and I can appreciate the beauty of nature and enjoy the relationship time I have, but it falls short of that pure joy because it's really a momentary pleasure. But what Christ is talking about is this pure joy inside of us that's not based on the circumstances around us, but it's a state of being. In fact, it's him in us, and it comes to this place of overflowing. As we think about this joy when we first come to know Christ, there's a passage that I love in Scripture. It says that there was a man who found a treasure in a field, and when he found it, he covered it back up, and he ran off, and he sold all that he had, and he went and bought that field because he knew the treasure that was there. You see, when we find Christ Jesus, when we find freedom from sin and death, that joy begins to overwhelm in our life because we're so excited for the fact that we have found peace. We have found a treasure in this life that the rest of the world is going to spend their whole life searching for, and the only place we can find it is in Christ Jesus. That we need to be so overwhelmed with the fact that by grace and grace alone, thank God it's not by what we've done or didn't do, but it's by grace alone that we have this treasure in Christ Jesus, that we get so welled up with our joy that it overflows from us. And we now want to become closer and closer in a relationship with Christ Jesus. And he's given us 66 books to show us how to do that. In one book called the Bible. I've had the privilege and honor of spending a lot of time with people in our church over the 6 years that I've been here. People in our church that are just coming into their relationship with the Lord. New believers, hearing people pray to the Lord and receive him and hearing their testimony, and we'll do that and enjoying the journey. We started an intro class a few months ago, and it's been awesome. I never get tired of hearing people who have found that treasure in that field, and they're all in with Jesus, that they're giving up their way of life and following his way of life and the joy that it brings them in life. And this last intro class we had, we had a testimony time the last Wednesday night, and the testimonies were so powerful. Some had been away from God, and they've returned to their life in Christ. Others are finding this newness in their new relationship with Christ Jesus. They're finding this joy deep down in their soul that only comes from Christ, and it's powerful. For those of us that have been following Christ a long time, sometimes we get into the mundane cycle of going through life and we lose some of that joy. But let me tell you, I never get tired of hearing testimonies of people that are having the light turned on in their soul for Christ Jesus, because it just so encourages me to continue to pursue and press into God even in the hard moments of life. We've recorded a testimony of a couple that's in our that just finished up our intro class, Sean and Christine. What a powerful testimony. And they talk about the joy that they now have that they've never had before that they found in Christ Jesus. We're going to play it for you. Take a look.
Hi, guys. I'm Sean.
And I'm Christine.
Before I found Christ, I was a ship with no sail. I found myself adrift at sea, battling storm after storm, full of anger and depression. Deep in my heart, I always knew that something was missing in my life. Easter Sunday, 2018, my wife and I decided to bring our family to church, and I experienced a spiritual awakening and felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. I asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, and I signed up for the New Believers Bible Study. Since that day, my life has improved in so many ways. I'm reading scripture and praying every day. I have a newfound connection with my wife, and my small business is flourishing. God has changed my attitude, my demeanor, and even my outlook on life. I find myself talking differently, acting differently, and living life with more purpose. I finally raised my sail of faith, and with God as my navigator, I am so excited for what the future holds.
I've always believed in God, but I didn't really understand or follow my faith. I always lived on my terms, never, always keeping God in the back of my mind. God on one side, my life on the other. They didn't ever really mingle. Just went on my own terms. As Sean said, 2 months ago, we came to Christ Community and for Easter and brought our family, and it really moved us. It just hit both of us a lot. And we've been attending service and coming to the New Believers Bible Study. It's great. We loved it. Excuse me. It helped us. And seeing Sean turn to Jesus, which it was a prayer answered. And that I was so thankful and so happy and joyful. My heart totally open to God. It wasn't just on the back burner. So I accepted Jesus as my Savior a few weeks ago, and that was amazing. I realized that God is the foundation of life. I always thought it was just a conscience, but I believe it's the Holy Spirit and my conscience working together. They guide my thoughts, my words, my actions. I'm more open with my children, family, strangers even. I have more compassion and mercy, I guess you would say. I give them another chance, and changes the way I see things every day. It's amazing. I have a new sense of freedom in my life. I have no worries. My life is more peaceful. I use Jesus as my role model. He's like the perfect role model, and it helps with the decisions I have to make. Big or small, I just ask myself, what would Jesus do? It's as simple as that, and takes all the pressure off my shoulders.
So we encourage you guys to come to service and sign up for a Bible study and enjoy some fellowship with your fellow churchgoers.
Yeah.
See you around.
Bye.
Now, there's a lot of others who have been part of these intro classes, and man, stop someone and ask them. It's so powerful to hear their testimony. One thing that Sean shared about halfway through is that they started opening up the Bible and reading the Bible together as a couple every single night. And they had got all the way through the book of John, and then they were reading Acts, and we gave out some reading plans. And they spend about a half hour every night before they watch TV or anything else, but they're soaking up all the riches and the treasure of Scripture. And it's renewing their mind and their heart towards the way of living. And this is a lifelong process. As we consider this, though, each one of us, God has something for each one of us, that there's no place of arrival in our growth and our transformation with God, that it's an everyday, ongoing experience. As we think about this, Jesus gives us a command in our main passage here today in verse 12 and 13. He says, "This is my command." So he's talked about the fact that if we follow his commands, that we'll remain in this close relationship with him, that we'll grow in this close relationship with him more and more. And he says, if you follow these commands, all these things will come to be, and that my joy will be in you, and my joy will be complete, or my joy will be overflowing. So we see this pathway, and it's a pathway of love. He's telling us all these things and inviting us into this relationship with him purely because he wants to be in a loving relationship with us, and that he wants this loving relationship to overflow. So as we consider this, his command today is to love others as I have loved you, to love others as I have loved you. And as we consider what that really entails, let us think for a minute the fact that each of us are really selfish to our core. You know, me myself, I'm selfish. I'm self-pleasing and self-centered, prideful, and God is breaking that down. And this process of following God is a process of putting off that selfishness and putting on Christ Jesus. Think about it this way for a minute. Most of us in this room will never be asked to give our life for another person. We won't be. But God is asking us, Christ is commanding us, to give our life away to other people. Meaning to not be self-focused, to not be self-centered, but to be selfless. To not be prideful, but to live in humility, considering others better than ourselves. You see, he's empowered us to be life givers the way Christ is a life giver. Think about what that looks like in our relationships in life. That the life that we receive and that is being grown in us isn't to be kept for ourselves, but it's to be poured out on the world around us. This is why things like small group and men's ministry and women's ministry are so important, because it's a time where we can begin to give life to one another. This is why it's important that we get out and serve with one another in our community and together in other ministries. This is why it's important that we're intentional in our relationships with our spouses and with our family and with our neighbors, because we have been called to be life givers. True joy comes through giving our life away. Think about it. It's the exact opposite of how we're wired. In fact, our own sin nature and the world around us tells us that we need to pursue for ourselves our own happiness. That if you're happy, that's all that matters. If you're happy, that's all that matters. I guarantee you'll hear that Monday around your workplace. As long as you're happy, that's all that matters. But see, God has a whole nother plan. What he says is that true joy, not just temporary happiness, but true joy, that abundant joy, actually comes from focusing on God and serving other people, or giving our life away to other people. It's the exact opposite of selfishness and pride. It's selflessness and humility. So how do we apply this in our daily life? How are we going to go out and this time tomorrow apply this in our day-to-day life? Well, I think we each need to consider a couple of things. Maybe you found yourself in a place here today. You walked in and you thought, man, I don't really want to be here today because I hate following rules, and they're just going to give me more rules to follow. Maybe that's where you found yourself in the message here today. And maybe you begin to think, well, you know what, I can't live up to the standards that God wants for us. Well, hopefully today you'll change your thinking to the fact that God has a plan for you, and that his love for you is not about following rules. It's about changing your heart. It's about growing you in this relationship with him, and it comes through grace. Maybe you've been in Christ a long time, and you've been away, and maybe you've been away from those patterns and those things that you once did that were bringing you to that place of joy in your life with Christ. And maybe that was the issue that you were struggling with coming in here today. Well, what I would say is that come back to your first love. Press into Christ. Come back to the place where you're seeking him for all areas of your life. Maybe we find ourselves in this place where been kind of self-focused and looking at an area in our life that we really need to be allowing Christ into our life. Maybe we've ended up in this place where we're holding on to our own pride or our own selfishness, and God's calling us to be selfless. Each of us has an area, a person, or a group in our life that God is calling us to give our life away to. God wants us to invest our life into other people's life. If that's where you find yourself here today, His commandment is to love others the way I have loved you. And the promise that's attached to that is that my joy will be in you and my joy will be complete. That giving our life away is the pathway to joy. So I'd encourage you today as we close with this just reflective thought here as an action step. Pray a prayer to God. Say, God, where am I being prideful? Where am I not following your way and trying to follow my own way? Who in my life do I need to invest in? Who in my life do I need to serve or encourage or show love to or be self-sacrificing? If you look at every broken relationship, it breaks down at selfishness and pride. But it's built up through humility and selflessness. So as we pray that prayer here today, let's remember that true joy that we are looking for in Christ Jesus comes through giving our life away. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time to reflect on your word. God, we ask that you'd work in our hearts, God. Father, we thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that Christ paid on the cross for us. And God, may we respond to that grace with gratitude. Father, I pray that we would continually follow you and trust you, Lord, abide in you, God, and not look at it as some yoke or burden, Lord, but we would see that following you and your way is a blessing. Lord, we pray for each person here in their place that they are with you today. God, may we continually press into you and seek you, Father. May we continually be open and receptive to where you're leading us to pour life into other people, God. And most importantly, to pour that message and good news of the gospel, that eternal life, into them. God, may we be a people who give life to others, who give your life to others. Whatever group we're in, whether it be in our homes or our neighborhoods, our workplaces, in church, God, may we be defined by that joy that is overflowing in us, Lord, as we follow your way in our life. God, and I pray for myself, and I pray, Father, for each person in this room as we continue that battle with our own pride, our own self-centeredness, Lord. May we continue to grow in our humility and in our selflessness toward you and others. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing.